And let's read these verses together. Ready? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And let's pray. Father, we are indeed privileged and blessed to be in a place where we're free to gather, in a place where your word is preached. We just have no excuse not to listen and to garner from this service that which you've prepared for us. Give us special alertness, carefulness to hear your word as it's preached. Bless our preacher with thy power and thy blessing. And help as we listen in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I have no other book than the one I've used for 25 years here. I have no other to preach, and I have no desire to preach any other. And I thank you this morning for the attractiveness of that book. No other book could be spoken of for this three times a week in public services, plus all the other Bible study in classes and Sunday school, all the organizations of our church. No other book could stand the test of scrutinization for 25 years and still draw a crowd. I marvel at the amazing truths of this book, inexhaustibleness of its supply. And now this morning, feed us on a truth from it. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If I had my choice this morning, and you said to me, we will either give you a $100,000 salary the rest of your life as pastor of this church, or we will give you our undivided attention every time you stand to speak, I would, without hesitation, take the undivided attention. The Savior said, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to speak this morning on the subject, The truth shall make you free. Now listen very, very carefully. There are two statements made there. One is, you shall know the truth. And the second is, are you listening, that the truth shall make you free. Now wait a minute. Those statements are not synonymous. The Lord is not saying here, the knowing of the truth shall make you free. He's not saying that. These aren't synonymous statements. You shall know the truth, and because you know the truth, you'll be free. No, these are two statements. One says, you shall know the truth. That's period. Second one says, truth shall make you free. You're not free because you know the truth. You see, the first part of that is what you do with truth. And the second part of that is what truth does with you. First part says, ye shall know the truth. That's you taking truth. But the second part makes truth the subject of the sentence and makes me the object of the sentence. See, ye, I'm the subject, shall know the truth. Truth's the object. What I do with truth, I can learn it. Now the second thing, truth becomes the subject of the sentence. Truth shall make you free. What I do with truth makes me know the truth. Now, when what truth does with me makes me free. You see, let me explain this, and this is so vital. So give me your minds now, everybody. I want nobody leaving while I'm preaching. Nobody leaving while I'm preaching. I want to make three statements. Number one, the acquisition of a new truth binds me. The acquisition of truth does not set me free. The acquisition of a new truth binds me. It binds me to an obligation to obey that truth. And from the time, hear me now, from the time that I acquire that truth and the time that I obey that truth, I'm not free. I'm bound. So the acquisition of a truth. You see, when you heard the gospel the first time, you heard the truth of the gospel. Now, your hearing the truth and knowing the truth did not save you. The truth saved you. You see, but knowing it, you knew it. There was a time between the time that you learned the truth of the gospel, for most of us, and the time that the truth saved us. Now, during that time, you were not free with the truth. You were bound with the truth. The first thing I said was, the acquisition of a new truth binds me to an obligation to obey it. Statement number two. Hear me now. Statement number two. When I obey that truth, I then become free. See, 'tis not the knowing of the truth that frees me. 'Tis when the truth controls my action is what frees me. So I said, number one, the acquisition of a new truth binds me, not frees me, it binds me to an obligation to obey that truth. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I said, number two, when I obey it, I am then free to be given to a deeper truth which also binds me. Follow me. I hear a truth. And I know that truth. Now, the knowledge of that truth does not set me free. It binds me. And I remain bound by the knowledge of that truth until I obey that truth, and the obedience of that truth frees me. And that's what the Bible means when it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It didn't say, knowing the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. So first, I accept and learn the truth, and it binds me, and I am bound until I obey that truth. And then when I obey that truth, I am free. And I am free now that I accept a deeper truth which will bind me until I obey it. And then it frees me that I accept a deeper truth which binds me until I obey it. And it frees me in order that I accept a deeper truth which binds me until I obey it. And then it frees me. Now, as long as I keep obeying, hear me now, as long as I keep obeying the truth that I have, I am free again or qualified again for another truth. Most of us know so little because we have not been prepared for greater truths by our obedience to lesser ones. Hear me now. We take a truth. For example, you know the tithe. You know it's scriptural tithe. You know it. Everybody in this room knows the tithe is the Lord's. If this book is true, the tithe is the Lord's. If God is honest, the tithe is the Lord's. 10%, the first 10% of your income before you pay income taxes, before you pay anything else, is God's. It's not yours to give God. It's already God's. And if you don't let Him have it, you're a dirty crook. And you know that. But until you obey that, then God will not give you added truth. And most of us do not know this book because we're bound by the truths we do know. We are bound by the knowledge of the truths we know. And we are bound, we're not free, we know the truth. And by the way, brother, if you've been in this church very long, you know a heap of truth, I'll guarantee you for sure. And we know the truth, and we're bound by that truth, but God will not give us freedom to accept another truth until we have been loosed
By the obedience of the truth we already know. Now listen, I'm talking to folks this morning who are as backslidden as you can be, and I'll guarantee you everybody in this room or everybody in this world who has backslidden, backslid because one day he learned the truth that bound to him that he did not obey. And the refusal to obey that truth kept him bound, and he could not be freed to learn another truth. That's what Isaiah was said of Isaiah. Said Isaiah, you just babbling. Like I to some of you folks this morning, I'm just babbling. You know why? You sitting there not listening. You don't want the truth. You're not doing what you know now. You just came to church because it's Sunday morning. You didn't come hungry and thirsting after righteousness. You're not like a hart panting after water brook. So is your soul thirsting after God. And you don't want the truth. What it is, you're not obeying the truth that God has given you. And you're bound. Everybody in this room, either you're bound by truth or you're freed by truth. And if you have truth and are not obeying the truth, you're bound by truth. But if you have truth and obey the truth, you have been freed by truth. And as soon as you're freed by truth, God gives you a deeper truth that may bind you until you obey it. And then your obedience of it frees you again, that God can give you a deeper truth that will bind you until you obey it. And I'll guarantee you, you'd be amazed what God has for you out of this book. You'd keep obeying everything God tells you. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Not the knowing of the truth. That's why most theologians and most Christian colleges are backslidden. They're chock full of truth they're not doing. And that's why the average, him and Al, the average young preacher boy comes to a Christian college on fire for God and leaves a Christian college as dead as a professor is. And the reason he does, he's learned truth after truth after truth. But truth is not given you to accumulate. Truth is given you to obey that you may know more truth. Now, remember, they could not understand Isaiah. But Isaiah was preaching line upon line and precept upon precept. Now follow me carefully. He spoke a line. But now the speaking of the next line was predicated on what he said in the first line. Line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, and God does that. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked the truths in this book you don't know. And you'd be shocked the truth of this book you could know if you, as you find one truth, would obey that truth that you might be free in order for God to give you a deeper truth so God can keep on revealing the truth of His book and of His will to you as a child of God. Remember the Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about the Corinthian people. And every once in a while I hear some preacher that it's all mixed up. He says, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm just going to preach the cross. I'm determined to preach nothing among you except Christ crucified. And I want to ask every time I hear a preacher, that's a spiritual little cliche. I'm determined to preach nothing but Christ crucified. I want to say, buddy, why don't you include the resurrection? That's a pretty good story too. But he said to the Corinthian people, I can't preach the resurrection to you because you've done nothing with Calvary yet. He said, you're a baby. Listen, he said, you're babies. You can't take me. I can't give you a deeper truth. Why? You've not obeyed the simple truth of the cross yet. Now you listen to me, folks. You're going to stand before God one of these days and give an account for your obedience to the truth. And by the way, it's the obedience to the truth that you don't even know yet, and you're still going to give an account for it. You're not going to give an account just for what you know to do, because the reason you don't know what to do is you've not done what you've been told to do, and God has not told you what else to do, and you've not learned the deeper truth because you've not freed yourself by obeying the simpler truth. Boy, I wish you knew how good this was. Listen to me. Let's put it this way. Truth possessed by a man binds him. Truth possessing a man frees him. Say it again. Truth possessed by a man binds him. Truth possessing a man frees him. Hey, once in a while somebody says, "Preacher, why do you go like you do?" I'm possessed by truth. I'm possessed by it. "Preacher, why do you go day and night?" I'm possessed by a truth. I believe in hell. I believe that there's a hell where men who die without God burn forever. I'm possessed by it, and I've got to do something about it. I believe there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. I'm possessed by a truth of hell and heaven and Christ and the Bible and salvation. I'm eaten up. I'm possessed with it. And because I'm possessed with it, then God in His mercy says, "Okay, you're free now. I can give you something deeper." You wonder where I got the truths on the Holy Spirit from the Bible. I gave you my book and my Bible studies on the Holy Spirit. I got them because I was obeying what God gave me before I got that. He then is ready, once a man has been possessed by a truth that frees him, he then is ready to be bound by another truth that he may possess it, so that it may possess him, so that he may be freed from it, so that he may possess it, so that it may possess him, so he may be given another truth. God does not give the second line until we have obeyed the first line. God does not give the second precept until the first precept possesses us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know today, for example, that you're supposed to read this Bible and pray, and you don't read this Bible and pray, and you know to, you mark it down, God will not give you a truth. You're bound. You're bound from added truth. And you will never know deeper truth until you obey the truth you know. Oh, my soul hungers today for God's people to act upon what they know is truth. We got little Bible study clubs sitting in living rooms all over this country. We got a little deeper self-style, deeper lifers. No invitation, no soul winning, no fire of God, no zeal of God, no heaven that has golden streets or hell that has fire, and no compassion and no concern and no zeal. They're sitting, learning more truth, but they're not learning the truth. They're bound by the truth they know. And then once, blessed be God, we take that truth that we know and that we possess, and we get lost in that truth that we possess, and it possesses us. The Lord Jesus says, "Now you're free. The truth has set you free." Didn't say you set yourself free because you got the truth. It says the truth set you free. You didn't set yourself free. "I'm going to get the truth. I'll set myself free." No, sir. You get the truth, you're bound unto you. The truth possesses you, and the truth sets you free. Guarantee you that in the life of every backslider there was once a truth not obeyed. And that is really, by the way, that's really what growth in grace really is. Growth in grace is you accepting a truth that binds you until you obey it, that you may obey it, that it may free you, so you can be available for another truth that it may bind you until you obey it, that you may obey it and be freed for the acceptance of another truth. And that's what growth in grace is. And that's why this Bible's a dark book to 90% of the folks in this room this morning. Illustration. It's old, often used here. A heathen... in Africa. We all know that all the heathens in Africa. Or San Francisco. A heathen in Africa. Never seen a Bible. He's in the jungles. Never seen a Bible. Him and now. Never heard the name Jesus. Never heard the cross. Never heard the virgin birth, sinless life, vicarious. That doesn't know a thing about the gospel. And God passes him by a little flower in the woods. He looks at that flower that's the handiwork of Almighty God, and he says, "Boy, oh boy, isn't that beautiful? I bet you somebody made that." Now what? Here.
I bet you somebody made that. Now when he lets that truth possess him, God says, okay, I'll give you another truth. And one night he was looking up and God says, hey, look here. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day and the day utter speech, and night and the night showeth knowledge. There's no speech or language, for they're not heard. And so the heathen in Africa looks up and says, hey, look at the stars in the sky. My soul, somebody must have put those stars up there just like they put that little flower out there. And he accepts that truth, and that truth controls him. And so God says, okay, I'm going to call a missionary from Hiles Anderson College to go to that little village where that guy is. And that missionary goes someday and takes a Bible and shows him how to be saved. Now listen, he would never have gotten saved unless he had acted upon the truth about the flower. But he accepted the truth about the flower, and then God gave him the truth about the heavens, and he accepted the truth about the heavens, and God gave him the truth about the Bible, and he accepted the truth about the Bible, and God gave him truth about Jesus, he accepted the truth about Jesus, and God gave him truth about salvation, and heaven, and hell. He dies and goes to heaven someday. Why? Because he accepted the truth about the flower. God gave him the truth. That's one reason why I don't preach anything but total surrender. You may not surrender totally, but you'll hear the preaching about total surrender all the time. I won't preach anything else. I believe every child of God ought to obey everything he knows to do. Here's a person. He gets saved. Now hear me now. He gets saved. He trusts Christ as his Savior. He's on his way to heaven. Now he has that truth. Now when he receives Christ, he sees the truth, he's not saved. Hear me now. But when he obeys the truth by faith in Christ, he is saved. Then he's free. And so what do we do? We walk, you guys, down here. What do you tell a new convert? Just got saved. What do you tell him? What do you tell him? Yeah, needs to get baptized. What do you tell him? I don't know what you tell him. You don't know what you tell him. You don't tell him anything. Okay. All right. He gets saved. What do you tell him? Needs to get baptized. Now you know. Now, why does he know that truth? Because he accepted the first truth. Now, okay. So suppose a person doesn't go up and get baptized. What does that mean? That means God's going to hold the next truth till you obey the truth you know. These preachers across the country make folks wait 6 months before they get baptized. They have, they got problems upstairs. They got mats in their belfry, rooms for rent. That's not the Bible. You check the Bible. Every time in the Bible a person got saved, he got baptized on the spot. When you say, we wait till you know they're sincere, you'll wait till they die and you die before you'll know they're sincere. I say to preachers across the country, do the same thing about tithing. A fellow, here's a rich man, gets saved. He brings $10,000 check down. I want to give it. Hold it. You can't do that. We're going to wait 6 months. We're not going to have you obey the command to tithe till we're sure he's supposed to obey the command to tithe as soon as he hears about it. And you're supposed to obey the command to get baptized. You say, well, Brother House, folks get baptized and don't know what they're doing. You got married and didn't know what you were doing. You don't have to know what you're doing to get baptized. If you know God said, get in the water and get all the way under and get out, that's all you got to know. You can find out tomorrow what you did it for. And so God comes along and God says, here's a truth. The truth about Christ living and dying for you and rising again after 3 days and three nights. And you take that truth and you're bound by it. And one day you say, I believe it's true. I accept Christ as my Savior. And you're freed by it. And then somebody comes along and says, get baptized. Between the time you learn to get baptized, the time you get baptized, you're bound to that truth. When you get baptized, you're freed from that truth. Then somebody says, you ought to join the church. And from the time that you get baptized to the time that you join the church, you're bound to that truth. When you join the church, you're freed from that truth. And God continues to reveal His will and His plan to His people, line upon line, precept upon precept. As we obey truth, the truth frees us that we may be bound by another truth, that we may obey it, that it may free us, that we may be bound by another truth, that we may obey it, it may free us, and we keep on growing in grace. Why? Because every time we find a truth we learn up here, we obey here. Same is true with being in the will of God. He tells us where to go. We go there.
He said to Philip, he said, go to Gaza. Or to Gaza. Well, where do I go from there? You don't need where to go from there. Just go there. And you go there and do what I say, and I'll tell you where to go next. Listen. Hear me now. If God showed you the entire way, one or several things would happen. You may not start at all. I'll guarantee you one thing. If God had told me 39 years ago, when I was licensed to preach, if God had told me 40 years ago, when I surrendered my life to preach, if He had told me what I was going to go through with the next 40 years, I'd have been a baseball player. I'd have sold ice cream bars. I'd have peddled peaches in Georgia. I'd have been a popcorn peddler at the Cub ball game, especially right now. I wouldn't have done it. Listen, if God laid out before you His entire plan, you wouldn't obey the first step. So God says, obey the first one. And by the way, from the time that you know where you're supposed to go, until the time you obey that, you're bound by those directions. But when you obey it and go, you're set free. Set free for what? Set free that you may be available for the next orders. Not only that, if He showed you the entire way, you'd jump over some of it. I would. If God had showed me 40 years ago everything going to happen to me, I'd have gotten to some places and pole vaulted over those places. By the way, you'd want to pick out the best. But the marvelous, wonderful thing about the will of God is that He reveals to you what to do. And then, between the time of that revelation and your obedience, you're bound by that truth. When you decide to obey and go where He wants you to go, and do what He wants you to do, when you decide that, you are freed by the truth. The truth has made you free! And then, you're free for what? To be bound. Don't you recall what Paul said? I'm bound to go a certain place. I'm bound to go a certain place. What does it mean? He means he was bound. God said, go there. Paul said, I'm bound. Now he goes there. He's set free. He's ready for the next orders. God didn't have to say, go to that place again, because He's there. And then the next orders come. You know, it's a wonderful thing to look back on life. You know, there's so many good things about getting old. I can't think of any of them right now. But there's so many good things about getting old. There's so many blessed things about getting 58. I can look back on my life and I can see now why God said go here and why God said do this. And I think one of the joys of heaven is finding out the reasons why about the will of God. I'm sure my little mama many a night, when she sat beside Loreen's bed for 7 years, and that little child couldn't even turn over in bed or walk or talk, I'm sure many a night my mama said, I wonder why this is. She knows today why it was. That's one of the great joys of the Glory Land, is we'll know. Now listen carefully, folks. I'm no great brain. I have no brilliance. I'm not an intellectual. Make no pretense about it. But could I say this? And I think if you come to this church faithfully, you know this is true. God, in some marvelous way, opens this blessed book to this preacher. You say, preacher, where do you get all that stuff? I do the last stuff. And I mean this with all of my heart, and I'm not an example of a Christian. But I'll guarantee you, up till this minute, everything I've learned about that book, I've tried to do it. If God will teach me something else today, I'll try to get it done by tomorrow if I can, so I can be free! The truth! Well, it set me free. And now I can say, Lord, I'm free. He says, good, let me bind you again. You know the best thing about being free? You can't be free if you ain't been bound.
You can't win if you've never fought. You can't have the victory if you've had no battles. And the blessed thing about being free is getting bound. And so the Lord gives you a truth, and you say, Lord, I know that, but that's hard to do. And the Lord says, yeah, but you let that truth hold you, it'll set you free. That truth that you got has the key to your handcuffs. And I say, but Lord, that seems hard to do. But I want to get free. I want to be free. Now hold it. That doesn't mean you're free to do what you want to do. These poor little half-baked preachers run around the country saying, you get saved, then it's up to you what you do. There are no rules and no laws. You can sip your cocktails and go to your dances and go to your mixed bathing parties and all the rest of it. And nothing else is important. They don't know the first thing about freedom. Not the first thing. Freedom is not freedom for you to ruin your life. Freedom is freedom to say, Lord, I'm free. I've obeyed your last command. Now, what is the next truth you have for me? And God says, here's that next truth. And you take that next truth and you struggle with it and try to obey it and you don't know how you can. And then one day you fall on your face and say, dear God, I take that truth. And I'll not just possess that truth. I'll now let that truth possess me. And that truth possesses me. And you know once again the blessed hilarity of being freed from bondage. For what purpose? So you can get in bondage again. I got 10,000 things I want to say. I'm not going to say but 1,000 of them. One of the best friends ever had was John Rice. John Rice used to say to me, Brother Hiles, I think I said this recently, Brother Hiles, he said, if nobody jumps on me every 3 months, I jump on them. You know why? Because John Rice couldn't be happy unless he is being jumped on. You know why? So he could stand for a truth. You know why? So he could win. You know why? So somebody else could jump on him. Somebody said one time, said, how's Brother Olaf doing? How are his battles? I said, they're going. Well, how long been since you heard from him? I said, oh, many months. Well, how do you know he's got a lot of battles? That's because he wouldn't be happy without them. He's saying, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You know what the first stanza of that song is? Huh? Oh, battleground for Jesus, my lifestyle forever. Because until you've been to the battleground, you'll never know a victory. If you've never been sick, you'll never know the joy of being well. If you've never been bound, you'll never know the joy of being free. And God knows that. He knows the joy of being free is the greatest joy in the world. And so God's okay. I'll bind you with the truth. Lord, I'll obey it. Free. Here's another. I'll take it. I'll bind you with the truth. Why? So you can know the joy of being free again. And ye shall know the truth. Now this morning, wherever you are on the ladder of the acquisition of the knowledge of God, you just do everything you know that God has told you to do. And obey every truth that God revealed to you. And I'll guarantee you, you'll be free so that you can receive another great truth. That you may be bound by it until you obey it. That the truth may free you. That you may learn again. To be bound. To be freed. To learn again. To be bound. To be freed. To learn again. To be bound. To be freed. To learn again. Be bound until the day comes when this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Ye shall know the truth. That doesn't do a thing. That's what you do. But if you will obey the truth will make you free. Our Heavenly Father,